You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Luis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is a good friend of the station, John White. John White is, of course, the garden curator for the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens across the street, and winter is behind us now, spring is ahead, and what about that, John? Weather out in El Paso is generally very weird, but as I said, this last year has been pretty strange. Do people get ready now to go out and do some spring planting, or do they need to wait a bit?
Well, some people have already been doing it. I kind of base, some of my knowledge on historical facts, and our last spring frost is not till, end of March, 1st of April, so there's always that chance of a, northerly coming through, and just, even though we've been in the high 70s, 80 degrees, there's still a chance that a blue norther will come on through and knock the weather down. And so, our weather patterns are all based on averages. Some years you're to the plus and sometimes you're to the minus. So I like to say, April 1st is being kind of the date to shoot for. So if you do it now, and you have to watch the weather, and if we do have a cold spell move through, then you got to be prepared to, bring out the cold protection for the plants. And, of course, this time of year we also have our winds, and the winds are very drying. They're hot, dry winds. The blowing sand kind of works as a sandblasting, so it can do a lot of damage to young seedlings and stuff. So some kind of protection is important. Even if you do plant at the right time, that blowing wind and blowing sand really beats the plants down, so you need some kind of wind barrier to help protect it.
This is the time of year, John, also, when people, if they do get transferred, they get transferred around this time of year because the children get out of school. And so they come down here, and if someone's here, never been to El Paso, and they start some kind of garden or do some kind of planting, I guess they should be aware that the dirt around here is pretty different depending on what side of the mountain you're in.
Right. And, if you're new to El Paso and just, coming here, this is a rough area to try and grow things. It's a harsh climate. We go from, spring to summer real, real quick. So you start out in the spring planting maybe some cool season stuff, and the heat's on you before you know it, and then you're cool season stuff has lost its flavor and its taste because of the heat's moved in so quick. Actually, the best time for vegetables is late summer, fall, because we have usually a very long extended fall period, and plants have the warmth early on to get started, and then as they mature off, in the cooler part of the year, and the flavor, taste, texture, nutrients, everything are much higher as far as vegetables and stuff. So spring is tough because of the winds and because we go from, some frost dates into the heat of summer within just a month, 6 weeks. So it's real quick. And so, starting your tomatoes out, if I were doing it and wanted to grow my own tomatoes, I'd start them out from seed about mid-February. Grow them out for about 6 weeks, so that'd be the end of March. So about April 1st, I'd be getting ready to plant them outside. They should be big enough and, be a good-sized transplant. You want to harden them off a little bit so that they get used to the outside weather, and then go ahead and plant them, and they should do fine. The frost dates that are established for our area are always 2 weeks, before or 2 weeks after, so you kind of give yourself a little bit of insurance.
An annual event is coming up here, and that's the native plant sale that you have every year across the street. And I guess people are going to be surprised, people who have lived around here, as far as how long this sale has been going on. And for the newcomers, just tell us a little bit also about the sale and, what's available. And also the name can throw some people off, because when they think of native plants, they think of the desert and what they see if they were to just pull off the side of the freeway and just look at some of the stuff that's growing out there.
Right. Well, with our plant sale, we are, you know, getting close to 20 years on the plant sale. So, you know, when it started out, we, you know, kind of said that we'd do it for a few years, and then all the nurseries in town would be selling native plants, and we wouldn't have to do it anymore. Well, there's probably less nurseries now than there was back 20 years ago. And so we're still in the business. And the plant sale does help to benefit the garden, as it's a fundraiser for the garden. So it helps with the upkeep of the garden, the expenses of the garden. And so it's a sale that, you know, helps fundraise for the garden here. And the garden is the largest collection of Chihuahuan native plants in the, you know, definitely in the region, if not in the whole country, but it's very concentrated. We have about 750 species of plants in the garden, which is a large number for such a small area. It's, you know, with the building, you're talking about an acre and a half. So it is a relatively small area with lots of plants. The plants are primarily from the Chihuahuan Desert. There are a few from a couple of the other deserts that are, as a botanic garden, you grow plants from different areas in order to have a germplasm source of that particular plant. So if something happened in one of these plants, more established desert areas, if they had something severe really happened, they could call on other botanic gardens that might have samples of that plant to be able to provide germplasm to replenish that. So
that's interesting. Yeah, you hadn't mentioned that before.
So botanic gardens are important, and they do serve a purpose. They're not just a landscape around a building. They're actually there for a purpose, and the plants are cataloged in just like, you know, inside the museum. So everything is monitored, and we know how old things are, when they were bought, where they were bought, where they come from, you know, all that kind of information. And our plants are primarily plants from the northern part of the Chihuahuan Desert, the colder part. The plants have come in from warmer parts of the desert and other parts of the world that are warmer. We lost a lot of them in the 2011 freeze. So that was really took its toll on a lot of things.
When you're talking about that, John, how far away, as far as the world outside the United States, do you bring in plants?
Well, most of them are probably more within, 500 to 1,000 miles of El Paso. And we do bring some in from Mexico, you know, in the Chihuahuan Desert, some of the mountain ranges in Mexico, plants that have a little bit more cold tolerance, because El Paso, we have cold winters and hot summers, which makes it rough on plants. And so you have to find those that can tolerate the cold, but also can tolerate the intense sunlight and the heat. And so it's sometimes hard to find plants like that. But our plant sale does display a lot of plants that add color and yet use less water in the landscape. So that's kind of the idea, is native and desert adapted plants.
And you mentioned earlier fruit and vegetables, and uh-huh. Some people might think, well, you know, they're talking about a native plant sale and colors, so they're probably flowers, cacti. But you do have some fruit trees or brushes, I guess, whatever you want to call them. You had a couple of pomegranate trees.
Yeah, we have some pomegranates, which are pretty tolerant of our climate. They, you know, did suffer a little damage in 2011, but they're pretty salt tolerant, they're pretty drought tolerant, and they are a plant that comes from some pretty dry harsh conditions and do well. We also have brought in some fig trees just to mix in there, that are again from kind of desert temperate climates, and they work well. We have some native trees that bear some fruit, like the Texas persimmon tree, the Mexican plum, or a couple that produce an edible fruit that is edible for humans as well as animals.
Now, the plant sale, in addition to that, you sometimes you have, actually most of the times I think you have a guest speaker, do you not?
Right. The night before the plant sale actually starts, we have a featured speaker, kind of kicks off the plant sale weekend. And so that's Friday night. And this year we have George Miller, who is a author, botanist. He lives in Albuquerque. He's written a couple books on landscaping with native plants, and is a good speaker, and I think people enjoy him a lot.
Now, the night before this presentation, is that something that generally people have to make reservations ahead of time for? Or?
No, we hold it in the auditorium of the Graduate Learning Center here on campus, and there's plenty of room there in the auditorium, and then usually we host a reception afterwards at the Centennial Museum for people to come, you know, either have books signed by the author or talk with the author. And just, you know, kind of have a get-together. And a lot of people come to get to see some of the plants because they'll be out on the Undergraduate Learning Center Plaza. So it's a chance for them to kind of get a look at them before the sale.
Now, just a little bit of, I guess, a warning for people who haven't been here. And, you know, they probably think, well, you know, they'll have a few plants there, a few cars. It's not really that
right.
way anymore. I mean, there are a lot of people who show up, and there are a lot of friendly volunteers who know just about everything. And if they don't know, they'll find somebody who does know what you
right.
want.
And, you know, as Louie was saying, the if you haven't been there, it is kind of hectic on Saturday morning because everybody's learned first come, first serve. And so everybody lines up waiting for the gates to open. So it's kind of like the, you know, the old television ads for the, you know, Black Friday, and everybody's lined at the door, you know, waiting for the doors to open. And that's kind of the way it is. And it is kind of a free for all there for the first 3 or 4 hours there as people, you know, we have wagons for people to put their plants in, and we have a plant holding area so people that, you know, can pick up some plants, take them to the holding area, go get some more, you know, and do that. But it is pretty hectic. And so, you know, if you wait until Sunday to buy, then you kind of get what's left.
Now, generally, if people are considering coming, do they need to get like an SUV or a pickup, or what's the biggest plant you say you would have?
Well, we do have some 15-gallon trees, so ideally if you had a pickup or a fairly large SUV, those type of plants would be easier to transport in them because you're talking about plants that are, you know, 10, 12 feet tall. And so pickup would be best. So if you are planning on buying some larger size material, like, you know, a lot of 5 gallons or 15-gallon trees, then, yeah, you know, make arrangements with a friend to, you know, maybe bring a pickup or something because they'd be much easier to transport and load and unload.
Now, as we're getting, let's kind of jump back to the beginning where we were talking a little bit about what to do here in the El Paso area. And you talked about, you know, the weather and the dryness of the climate. And anyone who's driven by Country Club Road and the Rio Grande, it's still pretty dry. So when, at what point do they open the irrigation?
Well, this year is going to be kind of an interesting year because irrigation right now is predicted not to open until the middle of the summer if they get it. And it's still a lot is dependent on whether that snowpack melt, you know, makes it down this far and how much it does. And, of course, you have Mexico and the United States, and within the United States you have Texas and New Mexico both jockeying for their amounts of water, and there's several lawsuits already been filed, so no telling what's going to happen. And the government, of course, is talking about getting into the middle of it, but right now they're talking about the middle of April as far as irrigation water in the river, and that's only if there's some that actually make it down this way. Otherwise, it may be pretty dry.
John, thank you very much for being with us here today, and I'm sure that we'll have you back soon. But the Native Plant Sale will be April 27th and 28th, before you know it, 9 to 4 each day. And it's at the Centennial Museum, which is right across the street from Cotton Memorial, where we're located. And again, that's April 27th and 28th. John, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Louis.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Rule. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.